Welcome everybody to The Sun on the Strip. This is Brock Rad, key entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun. I'm here every Wednesday to get you caught up on all the news and entertainment from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. Thanks for listening. On Friday night, MGM Resorts reopened seven different shows at three different casinos, and that was a very big deal. Over the course of October, the Vegas entertainment scene took some major steps on the way to its gradual recovery from the shutdown caused by COVID, and I took a deeper look at where that scene is right now for the cover story of this week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly magazine. Not only did I speak with a bunch of the performers and producers who are bringing these shows and others back to the Strip's many different stages, I also had some long conversations with casino entertainment executives, a group of people we haven't heard a lot from in the past few months, as they continue to play a huge role in reactivating shows and music and other live entertainment events. So you're going to need to check out Las Vegas Weekly when it comes out on Thursday. And I'm going to make this easy for you. Since I write so much stuff and tell you where to go online to find it, here's the shortcut where you can find everything I'm doing and everything entertainment-focused from the whole team at The Weekly, The Sun, and Las Vegas Magazine. All you got to do is go to lasvegassun.com, click on entertainment, and bookmark that sucker, and you're good to go. You're going to know everything you need to know. This week, we have one more show reopening, and it's one of my favorite smaller shows on the Strip. It's Tape Face at Harrah's Las Vegas, and the show is moving from the tiny House of Tape room on the casino floor to the larger Harrah's showroom upstairs. That is, of course, to make all the protocols work and to fit in 250 people socially distanced to have fun with one of the truly unique entertainers playing Vegas these days. I also wrote about this one for Weekly this week and talked to the man behind the show, Sam Wills. So go read that thing Thursday as well. Tape Face is back tonight and plays at 7:30 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday at Harrah's. A couple other Strip news blips. Park MGM has adjusted its operations, closing its hotel during the week. So the hotel is open Thursday through Sunday. The Nomad Hotel within the resort remains open 7 days a week, and the casino and other amenities at Park MGM also remain open throughout the week. And on a corporate earnings call last week, Caesars Entertainment CEO Tom Reeg said the Rio, located west of the Strip on Flamingo Road, should open before the end of the year. That would be the last of the company's casino resorts to reopen, and it would leave only one major resort in the tourist corridor, the Palms, just across the street from the Rio, still shuttered. So the most recent casino to reopen was the Cromwell on October 29th, and we're going to get a closer look today at the one and only entertainment draw at this boutique resort at the heart of the Strip, Dre's Nightclub. It also reopened recently, but not the rooftop beach club and nightclub venue. I'm talking about Dre's After Hours in the basement, which is the longest running late night club in Vegas. Victor Dre opened it up around 27 years ago, and then when the hotel was renovated and reimagined as the Cromwell, that's when the Dre's we know today opened up, the one that hosts some of the biggest names in hip-hop and R&B, as well as plenty of headlining DJs day and night. If you've been watching MTV or CBS lately, you might have seen Dre's getting some nice exposure on a couple of reality shows. And we're going to talk all about that right now with Dustin Dre, son of Victor and currently the VP of Entertainment at the club. But we're also talking about the current Dre's Lounge experience downstairs and getting Dustin's thoughts on the state of Vegas nightlife right now and what it might look like post-COVID. Well, before we talk about the reopening of Dre's on the Strip, I think we have to talk about the big summer TV takeover you pulled off. It was pretty amazing to see so much Vegas and so much of Dre's during the shutdown. And you made your TV debut on MTV's Double Shot at Love. What was that experience like for you?
That was a lot of fun. So last October, it actually was last August, they approached us and said, hey, we want to do a show. You know, Paulie D works for you guys and Vinny is working for the Rio at Chippendales and it's all under the Caesars umbrella and we want to do this Vinny and Paulie takeover. They approached me at first and I was kind of skeptical of the idea because my dad had never been a big fan of reality TV. And it was always like, oh, they're going to make us look bad, blah, blah, blah. So at first it was an initial no. A week later, they were like, no, we really want to do it. Caesars was behind it. Said, sure, let's do it. So it was like, okay, so we'll use Dre's as the backdrop to the show. We want you to be in it a little bit. I'm like, okay, fine. My thinking of being in a little bit was just, you know, seeing me walk in the background every once in a while. Then they get to filming. They're like, oh, okay, we're going to need you 8 hours this day, 8 hours this day, 8 hours this day. And I was just like, oh, okay, sure. And I kind of went with the flow and enjoyed it. And it was actually a lot of fun. It was a full month of filming and it was really nonstop, you know, having them all the time and constantly being ready and doing cool things. And it was a really, really fun experience.
I think you got more screen time than some of the guys in the cast of the show.
They did enjoy me. They kept telling me after, like, oh, you're such a natural. And I was like, oh, I don't know, I'm just being me.
You know, you mentioned being wary of reality TV, and that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, there's been a lot of shows in Vegas over the years. Some make the venue look good, some not so good. But I thought that really, really did a good job, actually, of like portraying the Dre's experience. The staff was in it, and everybody represented well.
Yeah, they really did a phenomenal job. We were really ecstatic with the final product. We, you know, I kind of felt it as we were filming. I was like, oh, these guys really know what they're doing and they're not going to portray us in a poor light. And when I started seeing some of the clips in early January, February, when they were sent to me for approval, it was really like, oh, wow, the club looks really good. And what kind of sucked was obviously we were excited to use that as publicity going into the summer season of come meet the cast. We would have meet and greets with them, myself even, you know, even though I'm not a celebrity, that people would like to whatever, and continue to build on that to get people to come to the club. Didn't work out, but at least we were still able to keep the Dre's name alive in people's head during this time, especially when everyone's home watching so much TV.
Yeah. And I think you created a lot of demand for especially the daytime experience at Dre's when everyone's seeing these great shots of all the views of the strip from the rooftop and all that stuff. So when people finally do get to go back there, they're going to go insane.
Yeah, it should be exciting.
And then, of course, you had Love Island, the Fox reality dating competition show. They created a bubble at the Cromwell, kind of took over the whole resort, converted the Dre's rooftop into its own set. That production, it seemed like that came together really quickly in terms of shifting gears and making it happen.
Yeah, that was a like 3 week, okay, let's go. And they kind of took over. Our president, Michael Gruber, is a friend with one of the producers of the show. And it was really one of those things we had a connection with Love Island going back to last summer where we were going to do a Love Island kind of summer party-esque. Never came to fruition, but the conversation, the connection with the people and the producers was there. When quarantine happened, they're looking for a place to shoot. Obviously, they can't go to Fiji or Hawaii or any of these locations. Our president talked to the producer, says, hey, we have a beautiful pool in the middle of the Las Vegas Strip with huge palm trees. Why don't you make it an island? Love the idea. And within 3 weeks, it was, okay, we're a go. So they came in July, completely built a whole television set. They actually lived in the club. So what people don't realize, but the bedroom where all the beds were was on our dance floor. So it was kind of crazy that they literally lived in the club for, I think 6 weeks was the length of the show. So it was a really, you know, while we had Pauly D and Jersey Shore airing on MTV, we had Love Island 5 days a week, 4 days a week airing on CBS. I mean, it was like this constant, Dre's in your face.
Did you get to visit the venue during the filming?
I came at the very end. Yeah, it was cool. What's funny is that obviously it's still a television set though. So as beautiful as things look on television, when you look at the, you know, nuts and bolts of it, it was like, we probably wouldn't be able to keep this. It's falling apart kind of, you know, this wall's removable. This isn't real. It was like, oh, okay.
It must have been interesting for you to watch. I'm sure you watched it a little bit on TV and to see this whole new world they created, and then to go at the end like that and be like, oh.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this. It was cool though, because as much as they created their own world, it still held the bones of Dre's. So you still had the iconic palm trees, the arch, you know, the pool, one of the pools was still the same. So they kept some signature elements of what makes Dre's Dre's. So that was cool to see that was consistent through the filming.
I know you've been back and forth to LA and Vegas. in the last few months. Obviously, several nightclubs and day clubs on the Strip have been open since the summertime and are operating differently with all these restrictions and safety protocols, of course. Have you had a chance to visit any of those clubs to see how they're doing business?
I did. I visited both Marquee and XS over the past couple of weeks, as well as I have friends that have told me what's going on at the day clubs. But obviously during this, because now we're getting colder, we won't be looking at the day clubs. So we were more looking at their lounge setup. And kind of everyone's following the similar rules. Tables need to be 6 feet apart. Can't have more than six people in your party. Stuff like that, just to maintain the guidelines that the governor has put into place. And they're different. They're not the rah-rah, flashing lights, DJs, artists, nightclubs that everyone's used to. They are a lounge. They're, you know, you're sitting at your table hanging out with your friends. And what I tell people, they're like, oh, Vegas is open. I'm like, listen, if you have a good group, sure, Vegas is open. I mean, you can hang out with your six best friends in your living room and have a great time. So it's the same concept of sitting there on your couch or going to a venue where you can just drink and hear good music. So, you know, they operate a little bit differently in each way, how they interpret the rules, because some of the rules are encouraged instead of required. So there may be things that we think are over precautious, but in this time, I'd rather be over precautious than have somebody come in and say, oh no, you're supposed to do X, Y, Z.
Clubs in Vegas, to me, the venues are always kind of the star of that show, so to speak. But now that you don't have the, the big name DJs and artists and stuff like that, that are going to perform there that normally would, I think it's a chance for people to really see how amazing these venues are.
For sure. It was really cool. I was back at XS and I was standing there looking around at the venue, and it was beautiful to see because it reminded me of when my dad first opened XS in 2011, how back then there were no DJs. The DJ was in the back corner, and funny enough, where the DJ used to play back then is where the DJ is playing now. So it's funny how it's gone full circle. You have the big arch opening that's now completely open, where before there was the stage. And like you just said, a lot of these venues, they spend a lot of money to make them extremely beautiful, and people lose that now because they come to see Tiesto, they come to see the Chainsmokers, they come to see, you know, Trey Songz or whoever they're coming to see, and that's their night, instead of kind of opening their vision, like, oh wow, this room is gorgeous, this place is amazing, like, you know, experience the vibe of the room. So it's exciting to kind of get back to that.
So now the original Dre space, the After Hours Club at the basement level at the Cromwell, is reopening along with the resort. What is this new Dre's Lounge experience there going to be like?
Well, Dre's Lounge is going to be a great feeling because the Dre's After Hours space was kind of built for this type of concept. It's smaller, it's more intimate, the ceilings are lower, it's not this huge room. It's going to be dim lights, great music, candles all over the place. I mean, you're going to walk in, it's going to feel really sexy, and it's going to feel how it felt when it first opened 27 years ago. You know, it's crazy to think that we're still reinventing a venue that's 27 years old. So it's exciting. And it's just one of those things that we are trying to make the experience for the guests as great as possible. So we're going to be adding a food element where people can order. We have some grilled cheese. We're going to be kind of playing with this food menu. We have an assorted dessert tray with all different types of desserts that you can order and stuff like that. So we're going to have different little elements. We're trying to get hookah in there as well, so people can sit at the table and enjoy hookah. Because think, if you have six people at your table and you can't dance, you can't go mingle with other people, after an hour, you know, just taking shots, you get bored. We're working on implementing a full cocktail program where we can have a cart come up to your table and make custom cocktails. We're really going to embrace the lounge aspect of it because we have the space to it. Whereas XS is a large space, it's kind of hard to have that intimacy. We have the low ceilings and the red lights and the darkness where we can really make that lounge something cool.
Do you know yet when the rooftop might be able to reopen?
We do not have a timeline for that yet. No, we are hoping sooner rather than later, but I don't know a specific time or date or anything like that.
Hypothetically, you know, if it all works out safety wise, can you see a way to operate that club? I mean, it's not like, you know, people think it's such an outdoor venue. It's indoor and outdoor, and it's always open in the winter months anyway. So you have that advantage, I guess.
The issue comes back to one, being able to put enough people in the venue seated, was something we were looking at. And two, again, creating a party vibe in a room that size is very difficult when you don't have 2,000 people. So it's like, you want to make sure your customer has a great experience. And if you have six people per table and the ceiling's 20 feet high and the room feels empty and there's no energy or vibe, even though you're following the safety protocols, is it fun at the same time? So we have to find that middle ground. We talked about, you know, doing it only outside, not the inside yet. And again, we were just trying to figure out how we could stay within the safety protocols, make sure everyone's safe and healthy. Obviously, that's the number one goal of all these venues opening up, especially us, and also having a good time. So that's kind of what we're toying with of how we can and as quickly as possible. Obviously, we wish we were open last week, but you know, we're not there yet.
Dre's is known for not just DJs and performances by artists, but like full concerts. You know, we know that's what you guys are capable of at that venue. And that's a big reason why people love it so much. Do you think there's any space to provide live entertainment now that is allowed under the restrictions? Is there any way to do like a ticketed show there? Or again, does capacity and having it pencil out financially come into play there?
Those definitely are factors that come into play. We've talked about trying to find a way to do some sort of live entertainment. But again, it's one of those things where it's just hard to line up the experience, financials, and, you know, making sure that we're following all the protocols. Our understanding was that live entertainment has to be like 25 feet away and, you know, they still have to wear masks and all this stuff. So it's hard to provide. We don't want to come back like kind of half-ass. We want to come back Dre's live entertainment, exactly like the way it was, full concerts, what people came to know and expect from Dre's and really love about us. We don't want to come back and it just be, oh, that's cool, I guess. Even though people are desperate, they'll still probably enjoy it. It won't be that same, you know, experience, like wow experience when they come in. So we're playing around. If things change and we're able to figure it out, trust me, we'll be open as soon as we can.
What's your reaction to the Cromwell reopening with the adults only policy?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, I think the Cromwell is such a small hotel that it's one of those things. It's why not? It's an extra thing to make it more exclusive. It's a thing to attract people to the hotel and adults that want to have a great time, not having to ever have that worry. Not that they do anyway coming to Vegas, but it's, you know, you do walk around these some hotels and you see kids walking, running around and stuff like that. They're just around. It's definitely a different feel. So I think it's going to be a really good change for the hotel.
Obviously the Vegas club scene in general is not going to be back to normal operations until you can achieve full capacity and it's safe to do all that stuff. Do you think there is going to be some lasting effects when we get to that point and you're doing Dre's the way that you want to, the way that everybody wants to enjoy? Do you think there will still be some lasting effects from this shutdown period on the nightlife scene?
I think there are definitely going to be some effects that are just kind of the new normal that everyone's saying. It's not going to go back to exactly the way things were in the past. But I do believe that people have so much pent up, I want to go out and party, I miss being able to go to huge venues and stuff, that I think it's going to be a very quick recovery. And I think it's kind of going to go recover to that next level almost. Now, do I think that the DJs and entertainers are going to be the driving factor that they were? I don't know. You know, it may be a mixture of this venue and entertainer, which is when Dre's first opened in 2014, the rooftop, that was the idea, was the venue is going to be the star and the entertainer is going to be the star. Now, over the years, we all know that Vegas nightlife has come to who's playing, where are they playing? That's where I'm going. I mean, it's as simple as that. They could care less about the venue. I hope that when things go back to normal, it'll be a combination of both.
That's all I got for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Thanks again for listening, and special thanks to Dustin Dre for taking time out to get us all caught up on everything that's going on at Dre's. You can make reservations for Dre's Lounge at the Cromwell. Just go to dresgroup.com.
You can find past episodes of this podcast at lasvegassun.com/podcasts. You can also listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Thanks. See you next week.